I was being facetious.
I got you now.
Facetiousness, innuendo, congres, insinuations. You specialize in this.
Romans 9. Two people talked to me after Bible study yesterday about this conscience.
I thought you were going to say about how impolite you are to Bob.
About your attitude.
Because, again, the word conscience here in verse 1 of Romans 9 is, it's not what we think of what conscience is. It's that inner knowing. That's what I want you to understand. It's the thing that where the scripture says the anointing you have received, you have need that no man teach you. I say all the time, I can't teach you anything. I can only act as a witness to what you know inside. And this is hard to explain to anybody. Unless you experience it, then it's easy to explain. So anyway, where did we stop yesterday? We didn't get very far yesterday.
Let's think about, we talk a lot lately about, know you not that Jesus Christ is in you except you be reprobate. And what that means to get to that point of knowing what you have to do to find out. I suppose it's different for everybody, but it's...
Well, it takes zeal. That's the whole point of John, probably just targeting on that psalm. Give sleep to your... Or rest your head or sleep to your eyes until you find out the habitation of the Holy One of Israel. Until that happens, then you're just sort of bouncing around. But it takes a literal... You must present yourself as a living sacrifice. And get to the point where, Father, I'm not going to move until this is revealed, until I see it. But you can always command the Father about things concerning His Son. And that's the only time you can command the Father. But if you do so, you have to have the courage not to move until it's revealed.
That's almost a non sequitur or some kind of phrase.
Some kind of thing.
Because zeal implies great action, whereas not moving means I'm not moving till I see. It takes zeal to do that.
That's the only kind of zeal that the scriptures talk about. Is the zeal of waiting until it's revealed by the Father. That other zeal is just ambition. And ambition has no place in the body of Christ. But we take, again, it's one of these things. We have words that we've used, and we think of zeal as all this, special forces types. And that's not zeal in the spirit. Zeal in the spirit is doing nothing until it's revealed by the Father. So you speak of nothing until it has been wrought in you by Christ Jesus. Everybody understand that? All right. We reviewed what the mind of Christ meant. Which was pretty intense. Now we bring this up. Verse 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, from my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And then we talked a little bit about the idea that when you pray for someone, there has to be a willingness on your part to accept and experience the suffering that that person is experiencing. Otherwise, your prayer is just bouncing around the ceiling. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaining the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promise. Whose are the fathers, and of whom are concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all God blessed forever and ever. Now, do you understand the difference between Jew, Israelite, and Hebrew? That we've talked about it many times, but I don't know if we have lately. The word Hebrew comes from abed, which means the passing over from something else. You've passed over. And it's where we get the whole idea that we are from another environment, another place, and so on. The Hebrew, well, I've got it here. Let me just make it up as I go along. All right. Hebrew, in every case, it's a title by which foreigners designate the chosen race. It's by which they designate themselves to foreigners, and by which they speak of themselves in tacit opposition to other nations, and that's all in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, after the dispersion, it became a language, not a point of habitation. He was a Hebrew wherever he domiciled, but he retained the same language. And you understand that? A whole lot of the Jews, they didn't retain their language. But if they retained the language, and when you look at it throughout the New Testament, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, it's a Jew who retained the language. Those who didn't retain the language were called Hellenists, because the Greek language is the dominant language of that public culture at the time the Bible was written. All right, now, for us, Hebrew is just the language. The Jew was, but it started with the separation of the 12 tribes. The 10 northern tribes were called Israel, and the 2 southern tribes, because Judah was a nominate tribe, that's where the word Jew comes. The 10 tribes assumed Israel as a title to themselves without the right to do it. When the 10 tribes were carried into Assyria and they were absorbed and lost among the nations, the smaller section of the people which remained henceforth represented the whole. It was only natural that Iudais should express it as it came to do, not just one of the kingdoms of Judah as distinguished from the God of Israel, but any member of the Jewish nation became a Jew as opposed to a Gentile. Jew at first was only the member of a part, one of the 12 tribes, but then it became that which designated the whole. At the cross, the Romans said, King of the Jews, but the high priest said, King of Israel. So that's just to show you. Now let's go back and review. An Israelite or Israel became the whole dignity, and it came to represent the whole dignity and glory of a people, in the peculiar covenant with God. To be a what?
That might be important.
All right, let's go to Romans 2 again. We just studied it. Let's go see it.
We just
studied
it.
Shut up.
Just a few months.
Verse 28.
Somebody's written notes all over the Bible about Romans.
For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. So here we got Jew, Hebrew, and Israelite. So if you want to talk about that anymore, ask me privately. I don't want to talk.
The only way I can interpret all of what you just said is how what it means, how we think about who we are, what it means here, not there.
Well, again, I believe that and this is very controversial. I believe that we are the Jews, and we are the true Israel.
Yeah, we have crossed over as Hebrew. We're Israel because of the body of Christ. We are Jews because of circumcision.
Right, and we're not Hebrews, because Hebrew refers to the language. All right, anyway, I don't know why I got into that. Back to Romans 9. Everybody understand that a little bit?
Well, just one quick thing that occurred to me when you said the thing about the definition of a Hebrew after the dispersion. What struck me, maybe it's in opposition to what you just said, but what struck me was that, I think, a very real sense, that's what we are doing, is we are rediscovering the language.
Yeah. Because we've abandoned
in this world. In this meeting, is what this is what we're doing, is rediscovering the language.
The other important part here is God is never... Nowhere in the scriptures is God the God of the Gentiles. Are they, in terms of God meaning, he is the God of Israel. And so in order to be in that relationship, you have to define who then is Israel. Is that nation that was created in 1948 Israel? That's what a whole lot of people believe. And so, the Jew, who is the part of Israel, is the one whose heart is circumcised, who no longer needs the praise of men in any arena of his life. The Jew is the one who lives totally and completely by faith. The Jew is the one, remember in Galatians, the promises of God go not to the seeds as of many, but to the one seed, which is Christ. And so everything about the scriptures is to Christ in you, the hope of glory. But the moment you apply to your flesh the promises, then you created the fifth gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Gimme. It's normally what you've underlined. It's all the promises without the cost. Okay. All right, where are we now?
I like what you said. It's normally what you underline.
Yeah.
That just got lots of people mad on radio.
Yeah. About the bad parts.
I'm lost this morning. It's too much been going on. We're still in verse 4, okay. Who are Israelites, to whom pertains the adoption, the glory, and the covenants, the giving of the law and the service of God. Now, this is important. I'm not going to concentrate on the other ones, but the service is hailaitria, and it means the holy service that was done by the priests in the temple of God. And so when Paul says in a few chapters, present your body the living sacrifice, which is your, and goes on then, which is your reasonable service, that same word is used by the act of presenting yourself the living sacrifice, and it's your reasonable service. It means it's the highest service that was done within the temple itself. And so you can't, the human race, or the what we see as hunks of protoplasm, cannot have a higher reason, raison d'etre, or however you pronounce it, other than the simple act of presenting themselves a living sacrifice. That's the top of the food chain. That's why all your ancestors lived. That's, you're the top of the pyramid. It can't get any higher. Your reasonable service.
Without agendas.
Without agenda, without form. You have no idea what it's going to look like next. You have no stands about anything. And that's why we should exhort one another daily, every time we see somebody's taking a stand about something. Because that will quickly lead you back into the resurrection from the deadly head wound of the evil one. That's why the scriptures are so full of not taking a stand. Not about politics, not about anything. And that's the only way you can partake of the glorious liberty of the children of God. Because the moment you take a stand, then you have weight. What do you got there? I can't take a stand about those stupid labels I see up there. I can see it, and then I see that I'm starting to get upset. I confess it and leave it behind, and then I see it again the next morning. I think that that's a plot by God right there.
Keep you humble.
You do mention it quite often.
Or little pieces of paper all over the place.
No, I think it's true. If you look to your left, you see me. You look straight ahead, you see Gary. You look a little bit to the right, you see the labels. And way to the right, you see Bob. Every morning, you're presented with
imperfection.
That which you would change.
Surrounded by imperfection. Yeah.
I think that's a parable.
And it causes me to keep constantly in. And then I have to look in the mirror. So then I see my nose. Oh, the tip of my nose.
I think it's true for each one of us.
What?
Well, you have to that's the parable. You're surrounded by stuff you're tempted to change.
Right, but
change.
The point, yeah. I want you to remember that forever.
I remember it.
But that's why community is necessary, because we exhort one another daily. Exhort doesn't mean you're judging them down and blah, blah. You exhort by a lot of ways. You exhort by making fun of them. Amen?
You can exhort by sending them anonymous emails.
No, you don't. All right, let's go to verse 5. I'm tired of talking about that. Who are the fathers? Whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, was over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her that the elder shall serve the younger. And as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, this is where we've got to come to this incredible, before the birth took place, while he was still yet, the twins were still yet in the womb, and many years before that, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, what you have to see about this is Esau was the kind of son that every person would have wanted. He would have been, you know, the Troy Aikmans or Roger Staubach or whoever that goofy guy is now. That fulfilled everything that the father wanted the son to be. And Jacob, he was a supplanter. He was kind of chicken. And he did a lot of stuff wrong. He ran away a lot.
Deceiver.
But what he did do, that's why the scriptures are so great. It's if you read the Psalms, much of the prayers are to the God of Jacob. And that should be of great comfort to us. Because that the God of Jacob is the God that continued in all that screw-ups that Jacob did until he came to the end. And this is another reason why we know that God has wrought all our works in us until we finally come to that place where we struggle with God until the angel of God, until the angel says, "What is your name?" And unless you can say, "My name is the evil one," you will never come into the fullness of God or the fullness of the promise. Because Jacob means the way of the snake. And as you know, Jacob never used his name. He always was son of. Until that angel wouldn't let him go until he told him his name. Now, until you know personally with everything in you that you are the instead of Christ. You are the 666. It's you that has set himself up in the temple of God, showing yourself that you are God. You are the son of perdition. Then everything else becomes just an instrument of your own self-realization. And all the world was wondering after that beast, because the beast is their identity after the flesh. The beast is the self-seeking of every human being that's ever been born. Everybody understand that? So how can, why do you pay any attention if your feelings are hurt? Or if somebody says something bad at you, but doesn't give you the right? That's just the beast. Everything that the human race does to better themselves, everything that a Christian does to better themselves, is making themselves acceptable to the one who has the near kinsman, the one who has the right of first redemption. And that near kinsman is not Jesus Christ. The near kinsman is the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air. Everybody understand perfectly?
That's a little scary when you think about it, because if you do make yourself good and acceptable to the one who has right of first refusal, he might just select you.
There's no might in there. There's not the slightest little might.
That's just the way I talk.
I know, and it makes me crazy sometimes. Because it leaves wiggle room.
You're free to correct me.
What?
Yeah, I say you're free to correct me.
Oh, thank you. I really needed that.
I was talking to the boys about this Jacob and Esau thing. It's really neat. The last couple of little lessons I've had with them has been about that whole story, you know.
Yeah.
It's really neat to hear, you know, they're just there. You know, it's like they don't know the story. You know, they don't even have any... in one, you know, a predetermined way of hearing the story, you know. So they read through it and just like, what does this mean? You know, what's this guy talking about? It's great.
No, I know.
Indeed.
Bob, you're doing it again.
What am I doing?
You know what you're doing.
I'm processing.
Huh?
I'm processing.
Well, share it with the class.
Did you bring enough for everybody?
Process this, mofo.
Yes, I brought plenty of that.
Look at your notes and remember what you're processing. With that scientific mind.
Thinking about election, and I don't know if this answers the discussion or not, but whatever doubts we might entertain about God, God has no doubts about us, and He's not undecided.
No shadows, no turning. The only reason there's election is they've seen the entire movie. It's not that he pre-selected who you're gonna, who was gonna believe in it or not.
Yeah, when you present yourself a living sacrifice with no agendas, then he's free to use you as he sees fit, not according to your understanding.
But I mean, just from a person's standpoint. When you have no idea what's going to happen next, life is fun.
Yes.
You don't have to try to, and there can't by definition be any weight. But once the moment you interject an agenda or a plan or this or that, then the debt just starts heaping up on you. It becomes heavier and heavier and heavier. You must know that by now. You've seen it all your life. So why not abandon yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Him? It's so simple and so fun. The only part that's not fun about it is you make everybody in the universe mad at you.
That's fun.
Well, I know you think, you thought for years that I enjoy making people mad at me. I think you still think that.
You think a lot of things, too.
It's like you and Mora.
Yeah, but I confess it as sin and move on.
Okay. I am sin.
I can't believe he said that. I cannot believe he said that.
That a 360 would be just a little bit.
Would you dismiss us?
Anybody have any other response to anything?
Yeah, you started talking about Jacob and Esau, and it got me thinking about Cain and Abel and all this. The idea that whatever it is that God says, wherever He says it, it's always true. It's always the case. And it's like if Jacob hadn't had a brother after the flesh, it would still be. The Jacob and Esau story is still true inside Jacob. It's in me. It's in you. It's always what's going on. It's always the elder and the younger. And this thing about election, who is it that's elect? Jesus Christ in you is elect. It's always that. It's always true. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. And it's shown over and over and over and over.
Some of the Talmud says that Cain and Abel were twins too.
Yeah, and they could be one person. It doesn't matter.
Well, but the point of it is that it's Christ in you is the younger, and you are the elder. And the elder must serve the younger.
Whereas normally, the elder oppresses the younger.
I mean, that's exactly what he does.
I'm the older brother, so I got it.
Well, I know, but you're you. Well, I'm an elder brother, too, to my sister, but my mother says that she, my sister, was an only child.
And he's the younger brother who knows he's in the form of God, yet it's not something to reach out and destroy me to get me out of the way so he can have his rights.
Yeah, he'll never violate your will until the last. He said, now will I arise. Then it's too late. Take it, big guy.
Oh.
Huh.